Hello. Welcome to Blacter. Join me as I examine the best of black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first bonus episode of Blacter. I'm your host, Gabe Moses. So, to start things off, I just want to say thank you yet again for just listening. You know, if you press play on one of the episodes this season, you are very much appreciated. I'm still in awe of how successful this has been for me and just the amount of people I was able to reach through this podcast. And of course, a few days before I'm recording this episode, Miss Camille A. Brown herself listened to the episode that's dedicated to her, which is episode number 10, called For Colored Girls Who Have Seen Camille A. Brown. And she also shared it on her Instagram and thanked me for honoring her. I cannot tell you how much that meant to me. To know that she was honored, that I honored her work, means the world to me. So, to Miss Camille, if you are listening, thank you again for just being a powerhouse in life and in your art. Next, I would like to say, this would be a great time to catch up on season 1 episodes you might have missed if you skipped around. My episodes do not have to be listened in a chronological order necessarily, although it wouldn't hurt, but they can pretty much be heard in any order because they're not episodic. As you may be realizing, I'm obviously not talking in the rhythm I do in normal episodes, and that's because I don't have a verbatim script to recite from like I usually do. I'm simply using an outline I have mapped out for myself, so I know what's coming next in this episode. With this being the first bonus episode, I wanted to take time to recap this first season. And in doing so, I would just like everyone to hear how my natural voice sounds. Almost unedited, because I'm sure I won't sound pitch perfect throughout the whole thing, but this episode will be more conversational, I believe. And I want to thank everyone who sent me questions for this episode. I'll be answering all of them. Some of them I have thought through a little more than others, and others not so much. So I guess this will be a fun experiment to see what answers I can come up with on the spot. But I'm excited to get into these and give you all some behind-the-scenes looks and insights about the podcast. And I basically ordered the questions in what I thought would be a good order. So, if anyone has any more questions after listening to this episode, or maybe before you start listening to this episode, you can email me at blacterpodcast@gmail.com and or DM me on Instagram at blacterpodcast, and many other ways to reach me, but those are probably the top two best ways to do so. All right, so let's get into it, as I like to say in my episodes. So, of course, my first episode dropped on June 25th, and I shared it on June 26th. So this first question I'll be answering is, what inspired you to start this podcast? That's a great first question, I believe, to kind of start this Q&A off. So, yeah, I guess I'll start with how I just kind of got into podcast back in March or April. I was just looking for something extra to do during quarantine, another hobby I could pick up, because I feel like I've always wanted to get into podcasts but never just had the time to just listen to them. So obviously quarantine was the best time to do that. And I mentioned in my first episode of Blacter that one of my favorite podcasts to this date still is called Dissect, which is hosted by Cole Kushner, and that's basically an analysis of a whole bunch of contemporary pop, rap albums, and R&B albums, and artists of the time, probably the past 10 years or so. And it's just, that really inspired me to just take a look at what I love and dig deeper into the things that I'm passionate about. And what really inspired me to start my own podcast was the Black Lives Matter movement coming into play during a pandemic, and just being shocked that black people were still being killed when you have thousands of people being killed by this virus and like how I thought it would be a good way to kind of educate people on black artists because I believe that art, not just acting or theater, but music and literature and everything that has the title of art on it is important. And it could, and I believe it can be an escape for whatever you're going through. And some people may disagree with me, but I think it could be an escape. It could be very therapeutic. So with that being said, I wanted to just use my platform to educate people on black artists because at the end of the day, that's what a lot of people turn to, especially during this pandemic. We turn to art when things aren't going the way we want them to, when your life just stops in the middle of nowhere. And so I thought it would be a good way to say, hey, look at the amount of talent, look at all of the beauty that exists in black art that a lot of people overlook. And right now, in 2020, during a pandemic, during the Black Lives Matter movement, this will be a great time to just appreciate that and to go back and say, wow, I didn't realize I was missing out on this. For people who may not have been used to taking black artists in, depending on wherever you grew up, your background, what your interests are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that was my inspiration for starting the podcast. And yeah, this is a good segue into the next question, which is, what is your favorite part about producing this podcast? And I like to use two words to educate and to entertain. More so, I'm using the educational part of it because most of the episodes I produce are about black artists and not necessarily talking to black artists. I have very few of those. And that was why I wanted to start the podcast, to talk about black artists and what they have done for the industry and to the black community and to just the world in general. So my favorite part about producing it is being able to give people a chance to listen, being able to give people a chance to learn and inform them about the people who have been just, giving the world their best and putting out their best work in the world. Whether they're dead or alive, they deserve that recognition. And sometimes a lot of the artists I cover, they don't necessarily get that recognition, even if they're a Grammy winner or if they're known for being the best actor and for an Emmy or an Oscar. Like, it's just saying, hey, this guy, he's doing something that's very important, and you can learn something from him. Whether it's a look into the black experience or whether it's just a look into someone who's just a great actor, So it's just my favorite part about this podcast is being able to make people listen to what black people have to offer. The next question is, what is your process in determining what you want to record for your next episode of the podcast? So, this was something I really thought about when I began the podcast. I didn't want, even though it's called Blacter, I didn't want to just focus on black actors in the industry, whether that's in television and film and theater. I wanted to just focus on all of black art in general, because I thought that I could learn something as well from musicians and singers and writers that I didn't know before, as just being primarily as an actor being my focus. And so with the early episodes, I kind of mapped out the first few and said, okay, so if I'm doing an actor in episode two, I'm not going to do an actor in episode three. I'm going to shake things up. And I kind of did that throughout the whole season, which is something I'm very proud of. And I have ventured into other platforms and other artistic things that I didn't know I would be doing when I first started the first episode. And I'm pretty proud of myself for that. Like, even going back to the episode of Camille Brown, that was the first and last choreographer I've talked about in the podcast. And I didn't know how I would be able to do that without giving you lines or giving you quotes that they've said, but just a lot of what I did for Camille Brown was talk about her mission statements, and that just said a lot and told you a lot about her without even be without even being able to see her choreography and her dance, because that's what she focuses on in her career. So when I first started the podcast, I kind of laid out a map of artists who I thought I would talk about, and that has just changed over time. Sometimes when I'm going to write an episode, I'm usually sure that that's going to be the one that I'm recording next. And so when I'm thinking about what's going to come after that, I think about what I'm already writing. And if it's too similar, I'll try to like push it back a few episodes. Or maybe I'll try to find someone else who will be different. And a lot of the times, like I know when I did Hattie McDaniel, she wasn't on my list at all because I had just thought about her. And I feel like I had looked up who was the first Oscar, like the first black Oscar winner in history, and t'was her. And so I decided to do her because I thought that more people need to know about who kind of started this thing off and who made our faces known in the film industry. So she was a very spontaneous choice, and I ran with it. And so there were a lot of people like that. Like even now, I know I still. Like Viola Davis was one person who was on my list from the very beginning, and I haven't done her. But I do plan to do her, but the reason why I haven't is just because I didn't want a lot of crossovers in the things I've already talked about. And plus, she just has a very large career and a very large IMDb page, as we all know, as well as like people like Angela Bassett, who's also on my list. So I kind of wanted to save them for when I got more comfortable with the content I was putting out and the research I'm doing and how that just continues to grow over time. So yeah, my process it varies episode to episode, but it's pretty much the same. Like I never want to have the same artist back to back in episodes that coincide. So yeah. All right, next we have what type of episodes are your favorite to make? The ones where you research a famous artist or the interviews with a current artist in the industry. Cool. So this is a great question. And it kind of goes back to why I started the podcast. I started the podcast to talk about black artists, not talk with black artists. And I got the idea from a friend I was in a show with, and he was like, you should really look into doing interviews for your podcast. I'm sure that'll bring a lot of people in. And I really agree with that, and I was like, okay, we'll do that. But my fear was finding out who I could interview and who would give me their time because I knew I wasn't going to pay them because I just don't have the money to do that. At least, especially at the time when, everyone lost their jobs. So it was just the matter of finding out, okay, how do I want to go about finding who to interview? But I think I'll kind of touch on that in a later question. But yeah, it's hard to say what's my favorite type of episode to make. I love doing the interviews because not that they're longer and there's more content in them, but you just get to hear from the artists themselves and what they go through versus, the kind of artist they strive to be, whether they're an actor. Most of them have been actors, but there have been some directors and writers as well. And it's just interesting to hear, especially if they have a big career and they're pretty well known, like people like Lawrence Gilliar Jr. and Keith Hamilton Cobb and Rosalind Coleman Williams, like they have had pretty successful careers and sometimes they don't get the recognition that they deserve. And it was great to just give them this platform to talk about what they've experienced as an actor, as a director, as a writer, and to just hear what they go through on a daily basis. And that was a very big learning experience for me, and it taught me a lot just about not just black people who are in the industry, but just people in general and artists in general and what kind of lives they live and how at the end of the day we're all just normal people. So there's no pedestal that any of us are on, no matter how successful we are, even though sometimes the world likes to put us up there. We're all normal people just trying to survive at the end of the day. So I have to say, yes, I do like the interviews, but I always love researching and doing my own work to make an episode happen. And like I said and earlier, just giving an opportunity for people to listen and people who don't have the time to research, like artists like they might want to do, I'm doing that for them. So if they really want to know, they can just listen. They can just press play and listen for 15 to 20 minutes and hear me speak. All right, the next question is, I was asked multiple times on this one, and the question is, what is your favorite episode that you put out this season? That is a very hard question. Okay, I put out 20 episodes, arguably 21, because of the season finale having two parts to it. A lot of people say their favorite episode is the Chadwick Boseman, the tribute to Chadwick Boseman. And that is one of my favorites as well. Yeah, that's probably one of my favorites. And it's not even because of how spontaneous it was and how I just felt that I needed to do my part in give a tribute to this man who died too soon, who died very suddenly, and was just a big shock to the world at large. The best part of that episode for me was hearing from my peers and just hearing how much of an impact this man, whom they've never met, had on them. And it also was great for me to give them to give them an opportunity to express how they were feeling at the time and just to hear the different emotions in their voices and hear the different stories they had to tell about Chadwick Boseman and how he's impacted their life was very therapeutic for me at the time, and I really needed that. And that episode inspired me. You know, I strive to inspire other people with the episodes I create, but that was probably the first episode where I was inspired by what I was able to put together with other people. So I do have to say that is one of my top favorite episodes of the season, and I hope there's more like that, that I'm given the chance to give other people a chance to express how they're feeling about anything, really, not just an artist who's passed, but just anything in life that's going on. So I hope I'll get the chance to do something like that again. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. All right, welcome back, and I hope you enjoyed the advertisement. Of course, as we all know, it is voting season, and I'm asking all of my listeners to vote, vote, vote. If you are listening to this before October, I hope you have registered or plan to very soon. Your voice is important, so please exercise your rights so we can make the necessary changes that we need to grow in this country. All right, so on to the next question. What networking did you use for your guest voices? Great question. And I'm taking as if you're talking about guest voices, as in not just people who I've interviewed, but the people who I've had throughout this whole season, whether they recited a monologue or, I mean, that's pretty much all I had them on for, but so I'll kind of talk about both. So the guest voices who I've used have pretty much just been all of my peers, mostly those who I've went to high school with and those who I've met, not high school, sorry, those who I've went to college with and those who I've met in the past, 3 to 4 years. And yeah, I shout out to all of them, everyone who's lended their voice in the last 20 episodes. I very much appreciated you. And it started with my third episode, I Wish I Knew Nina Simone. When I was writing the episode, I was like, okay, I'm gonna be reciting one of these songs and talking about it because this is very important for people to know and hear. And then I came to this song called Four Women, and I was like, okay, I'll recite this one. And then I did, and I was like, yeah, this is not working out because I am not a black woman, so I have no responsibility to, reciting this. And so I reached out to four women of color, black women, asking them to, take this portion of the song and just recite it. And that was kind of my first way of incorporating my peers and my friends who are black artists and giving them a venue to share their voice in whatever way that is as well. So yeah, that's been a highlight of the season for me too, is whenever I got the chance to include someone else in reciting a monologue or performing a poem, I definitely wanted to make that happen because it's important for other people to not just hear my voice, but hear other black artists as well. And the networking I do for my guest interviews, the artists who I interview, which there have been five of those throughout the season, I'll start with the first one. So the first episode I had an interview was in Crew McGowling, and that got a lot of attention, and that's why I wanted to keep doing it. And he was in Ragtime with me. That was my first professional production at the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival, and he played Cole House, and as I said in that episode, he was outstanding, and I just thought he would be a great first person to talk to because I knew, I had a feeling he would say yes. I wasn't like unsure, but like, I don't know if he'll say yes or not, so I wanted to pick someone who I was confident that they would be comfortable talking with me, and he was. And yeah, I just thought that was the best way to kind of find people to interview with, the people who I've worked with before or people I know of or who know of me. And after that, I kind of started reaching out to a whole lot of people. And it was a little hard to kind of get another one quickly. Some people I would reach out to, they would either not respond or tell me they would think about it and just not get back to me, and that's normal, and I have no problem with that. And then others, I won't talk about this one instance, but yeah, others, I've had success, and I've interviewed them, and those are people who you've heard from. And so the next one was Lawrence Gilliard Jr., and my connection with him was he had just done a masterclass with the sales over Zoom about a month or two prior to when we did our interview, and I reached out to him via email, and he responded and got back to me, and that was my way into interviewing him, and that was just another great person to have on the show. And my third interview was with Jacinth Headlam, and she's one of the people who I've probably known longer, well, I have known longer because I did a show with her when I was, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 years old, and I reached out to her because she's also doing great things and independent films and, you know, writing her own book and modeling. So I had a lot to talk about there with her. So I was excited to have someone different who wasn't just an actor, but was also a writer and a model, a motivational speaker, and who had different insights to give to me. So that was also great. And of course, the last two interviews I had worked out very well. And I'm kind of glad that I had both of them to end the season with, because Miss Rosalind Coleman Williams and Mr. Keith Hamilton Cobb were both in Julius Caesar together back in 2016 at the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival. And Keith Hamilton Cobb played Julius Caesar and Rosalind Coleman Williams played Calpurnia. And I had met Rosalind at the Pennsylvania Shakespeare competition. She was an adjudicator and I was one of the helpers, the student helpers. And I just reached out to her and she gladly said yes, and the same with Keith as well. I had a conversation on the phone with him prior to our interview so he could learn more about me and get a sense of what the interview would be like, and they were both very great people to talk to, and it's great when you get the chance to talk to people who you don't ever think you'd get the chance to talk to, because sometimes you think people who have been in this industry for a long time, they have better things to do. But both Keith and Rosalind really appreciated me reaching out to them because sometimes they don't get the chance to just talk about what they've done and what they continue to do in this world as artists. And it was just great for them to kind of reflect on the past few years and everything they've done since they've been in this industry. So yeah, networking is something I've done a lot of in the past few months, obviously, but it's been a very great tool for this podcast. On to the next question. I was asked this question more than once also, and it is, who are your dream interview guests and artists, and what artists would you like to have on the podcast? That is a very big question. I have so many people who I would want to interview, but it also comes down to who will actually do those interviews. And over the past few weeks, I've reached out to people who probably would not happen. I'm not going to say any names because you never know. They might just say yes. But we'll see. Maybe next season. I hope so. But there's so many people. I mean, someone who I would love to talk to was the person who I talked about in my second episode, and that's Sterling K. Brown, because he's just one of my favorite actors. And I would love to pick his brain about how he goes about approaching a role and just his process before he even gets on screen and before he even gets in front of a camera, because he's just an amazing person, an amazing actor, and one of those people who you just would love to have a conversation with. And so he's definitely up there. Someone like Cicely Tyson, who's been at this since she was born, really, because she's done so much and she's so wise, and I just feel like she'd have so much to offer that I would just never ever know until I'm her age. And yeah, that would just be a dream that probably will never come true, but you never know. Yeah, those are probably my top two choices, and of course I have so many people that I'll probably talk about, not talk with, but I do plan on talking with Black artists who I know and who I've worked with before and who probably will say yes to me. So, yeah, more information on that to come next season, hopefully. The next question is, how has this podcast influenced the way you see yourself as an artist in this industry? Man, I think one thing that came out of it was just knowing that I am able to do so much more than I think I'm capable of. Because when this podcast started, and I keep reiterating this to this day, that I just never thought that I would be the one to start a podcast, because I just always considered myself an actor, and that's kind of what I devoted my life to. And even in the first episode, I say, like, acting is my life, acting is this, acting is that. And now it's just something I do that I love. It's not like the end all be all. I think that this podcast has been another source for me to kind of express myself as a person and not through another character. So I'm able to be myself more. And I think that has reflected in all of my work, even as an actor and a director, that I'm just able to be comfortable with being myself and sharing my voice and not putting on a different hat every time I step into a role. You know, it's just bringing myself to everything that I do. And I think that'll be important when I'm actually going out into the real world and not being afraid of just being me and being authentically me every day. What has this new journey taught you that you'd like to share with others who might want to start a podcast? Again, I never thought I'd be giving this advice to anyone who wants to start a podcast. My advice would be to just do it, because that's what I did. I had the idea, I don't know what day it is, but like I had the idea, and 2 days later I was writing my first episode, and then the next day I was recording my first episode, and then I released it that day, and I put it out into the world the next day. So literally in the span of 4 to 5 days, I had this idea and it was already out and happening. And there are good things about that and bad things about that. And the bad thing about it is I didn't have enough time to plan with what was coming next, because I put out that first episode and I was like, wait, I gotta do more if I'm gonna keep this consistent, right? So I would just say, yeah, just do it, but also have a plan of what you're going to do next, and just kind of make an outline for yourself and be very organized with when you want to release your episodes and what your schedule is going to be like for writing and recording, because that's something I had to do for myself. There have been many early mornings when I've gotten up and my voice wasn't always how it's sounding now. I had to drink a lot of water, a lot of tea to make my voice sound even okay at the most. But yeah, have a schedule for yourself and be very organized of what your plan is and what you're going to do going forward. And also, you know, people who are actors may know this phrase, but some people say, like, there's no such thing as originality anymore. And I have to disagree with that, even though I know there are a lot of podcasts out there who are devoted to just talking about artists and their work and what they've done. And there are a lot of podcasts that talk about writers, and they're dedicated to just talking about writers, or podcasts just dedicated to talking about actors or playwrights. I know for my podcast, I don't know if there's any other podcast out there like mine that's devoted to just talking about Black artists in general and not just putting them in different subcategories, but just having all of them in every episode. You never know what kind of content you're going to create until you actually create it. And ideas never stop at step one. They just keep on going, and just don't be afraid to just do it and just be your creative self every day. And yeah, you'd be surprised of how many people you can reach, because that was what I was surprised about, and it's very fulfilling, and it feels great. The next question is, what is a goal of yours that you are striving towards? That is a very difficult question, because I don't know, I feel like in the last few months I've been striving for a lot, and I'm getting at all of those. And one of the biggest things is being able to express myself in every platform of art that I am in. And as a podcaster, which is a weird title to have on my resume now, but it's one I have on there now. I've been able to express myself through this platform, but it was also finding how to express myself as an actor. And that sounds very weird, because obviously when you're an actor, you're playing someone else. But are you really playing someone else? If you're just being, you're just telling the truth, you'd be surprised how much you can come into whatever character you're playing, like I said before. So luckily, I've been able to do all of that in the past few months, and especially throughout this year. And I've kind of been sticking to a goal that, like, I'm not going to do something unless I'm passionate about it. And that is very hard as a student, first of all, because I think you're required to do everything and anything, no matter how you feel about it. But of course, it's difficult because I'm also young, and I don't necessarily have the power to just do what I want 24/7. I have to still graduate from college in the next few months, obviously. And so I think it's just creating my own material has been a big part of that. Not necessarily people giving me things to do. It's being able to say, hey, I'm going to do this. I want to do this because I'm passionate about it. So I'm just going to put it out there in the world and see what happens. And that's what I've been able to do in quarantine and even going into the school year, which I'm very grateful for. So yeah, my goals that I'm striving for right now are being reached, so I'm very grateful for that. What pieces of art have most inspired your acting career? There's so much. There's so much. Recently, obviously listening to podcasts and talking to my guest artists, they've inspired me. And they are artists. They're not pieces of art, but they are artists. And artists have inspired me a lot in the past few months. Most inspired my acting career? That probably has to go back to when I was a kid. And, like, I have different opinions on this man right now, but I have to give him the credit, because he is the reason why I am an actor, Mr. Tyler Perry, who created a platform and an audience for himself. He didn't wait for people to give him things to do. He created his own content and what he was passionate about. And ever since, that man has been blessed with the world. And that's the guy I really look up to, and I always look up to for that reason, because he was able to come up from being homeless and not having anything as a kid to being very wealthy and being very famous now, even though that's not the most important thing in the world. He has come a long way, and he has paved the way for himself. And of course, he had a lot of people say yes to him, but he had more people say no to him. And the fact that he was able to just plow through that and say no to the no's and say yes to the yeses and give more yeses to the yeses than he was given, that speaks a lot of volumes to just his artistry and commitment to what he believes in. And yeah, so watching his plays growing up and seeing people who looked like me both on television, film, and theater, I knew at an early age that I could make a career out of this. I don't know how hard it would be at the time, and I'm still figuring that out as I go into the real world. So, yeah, he was whatever he created when I was a kid, especially his plays, seeing them, I have all the DVDs still, like just seeing him flourish was really inspiring to me, and that inspired my acting career and made me want to be an actor. So, yeah. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. you had to describe your vision for your artistic life, what would it be? Another big question. I kind of saved these for last because they're pretty difficult to answer. And I don't think I just have one answer either, so I'll try to work my way around this question. I don't know. I always say when people ask me, what do I want to do after college? I always say, I want to keep doing theater because that's what I've done all my life at this point. I'm not well versed. I haven't done a lot of TV and film. I've done some projects, not really much, obviously, even though I'm still young. I would like to be on Broadway. That is a goal of mine. I guess that goes back to the question before. What goals are you striving for? That's a weird goal to strive for, but that's just been a goal since I've been a kid. And whether I'm an understudy, a swing, a small role in a play, a big role in a musical, that's something I just want to do. I want to be on Broadway and say I've done it, and hopefully from there move on to television and film and see what that's like. Because yeah, there's just so much as an actor to venture into. There's not just one medium to showcase your talent. There's so much you can do. So my vision for my artistic life isn't just in one category. It's in many categories, but I would say right now it is to establish myself as a stage actor. Or maybe I shouldn't stay as a stage actor because then I'll just be in that one category. But to establish myself as an actor who can do theater in on a professional setting, which I have done already, but in whether it's regional theater or on Broadway, I would just say to just to keep doing theater and keep getting better at it. That's a vision I see myself fulfilling in the future. As a black man in the acting industry, what do you think could be improved in the use of diversity in the arts? So there's more questions to this one question. I'll just keep going through all of them. How do you find that can be achieved? Is it writing more for black people, or is it legitimately just including more BIPOC, black indigenous people of color in casting decisions and maybe going a non-traditional route? This is a packed question. Okay, so to answer the first one, what do you think could be improved in the use of diversity in the arts? And yeah, I don't think it's just writing more for black people or black people of color or including them in casting decisions. It's just a combination of all of that stuff. And I think more so, it is writing for black actors and people of color because, sadly, this is the world we live in, but sometimes writers, especially white writers who write based off of what they know, they can't write for black characters and black actors. So it comes down to who's writing those stories. That is really what it comes down to. And who do they want to be in their stories? That is also what it comes down to. And I just think writers, casting directors, and just people who are behind the scenes need to have more of a broader lens. So they're not just doing the same thing in whatever projects they're working on. I look at people, I'm not going to say any particular names because you never know who's going to listen to this thing, but you just look at certain writers and some people who are very successful writers, and you see all the shows that they've produced and that they've directed and written, and you see the same faces in those shows, and it's just like, okay, but why can't you have a black actor in this one role, especially if they don't have to be black? Why can't you have an Hispanic actor in this role if they don't have to speak Spanish? You know, it doesn't have to be what we see ourselves as people of color. There can just be a neutral race, a neutral casting that gives more people of color that opportunity. So yeah, and it's not even the fact that it's non-traditional either. I think it's just, it needs to become traditional. We need to bypass all of those stereotypes that we've told ourselves, especially with theater and Shakespeare, that you have to have this actor look a certain way, or Falstaff is written like this. But I don't know, wouldn't it be funny if he was skinny? That would be a different choice and non-traditional in a sense. But hopefully, in the future, that kind of stuff becomes traditional, and we can just get rid of the terms non-traditional, blind, colorblind casting, all of that stuff. It could just be normal and regular in a way, So I think that's what it's going to come down to. And as a black man who is going into the acting industry, hopefully it will change. That's what we're hoping for. That's why I'm doing this podcast, because I want to create change in whatever way I can. So, that's a very hard question to answer, but I hope I work my way around it, and I hope whoever asks this question understands what I'm saying. Okay, so we're almost done here. The next question is, this is another hard question that I haven't really thought much about, but we're gonna try to answer it. Who would you play in a biopic of their life, and who would you like to play in your own? Who would I like to play me in my own? So, another big question. So I'll start with the first one. Who would I like to play in a biopic of their life? Based off of the people who I might look like or could look like with more age, if Chance the Rapper, keeps doing his thing, I would love to play him in a biopic one day. That'd probably be in, I don't know, like 10 years from now, maybe. Because he's still young. I believe he's in his either in his late 20s or his early 30s, but he's still pretty young, and we're almost close to the same age, and I can look like him, I think. Of course, another person would be like, I don't know, Stevie Wonder, with a lot of hair and makeup and all that. And yeah, maybe in his early years, I could definitely play him, and I don't know if they'd make me sing it, or maybe I could lip sync, but yeah, that there are people who I would love to play and just tell their stories, because I know they got a lot to tell, especially Mr. Stevie Wonder, who we all know is a blind musician and just a genius in life and in his art. So he's someone I would love to tackle, and of course that would be a big challenge, but I'd be up for it. Who would I like to play me in my biopic? That will probably never happen. I guess I have to think of young actors now. What's that guy from he was on Blackish. I think his name is Marcus. I forget his last name, but his name is Marcus, and I guess he could look like me. I don't know. He seems chill like I am. Maybe he would be good as me. I don't know. Also, Kelvin, I think his name is Kelvin Harrison? I should probably look this up. Yeah, I'm gonna look this up. I'm looking it up right now. Kelvin. I can tell you what he was on. He was in Waves. Yes, his name is Kelvin Harrison Jr. He was in Waves, the movie Waves, with Sterling K. Brown, that came out last year, and also in Loose, that also came out last year, with Octavia Spencer. He's a great actor. He's my skin color. He could probably look like me, maybe. So yeah, I don't know. People who are younger than me or my age. Actually, Kelvin is older than me, but he looks like he's my age. I guess they could play me. That would be fun. I don't know what kind of movie they create about me, but maybe if something major happens in my life in the next 10, 15 years, they'll have that to work off of, but we'll see. So the last question is, what are you looking forward to incorporating in future seasons? Yeah, so I'm currently figuring that out, as obviously season one has come to an end, and I'm kind of wrapping things up with this episode as well. I'm looking into season two, which will probably be released at the end of December. I don't have an exact date yet, but I'm looking to end of December to release more episodes. Yeah, I think, well, I already have this new little theme song that we're going to include. There'll be more oomph to it, I think, than how this first season was very, very repetitive with that same, those same melodic notes, which I'm sure everyone can probably do in their heads right now, because it's pretty fun to just don don. Yeah, you know it. So I have a new theme song that I'm already excited to include. I was also battling if I should even like start it off with this episode, but I think it'll be fun to start it in season two. It's episode one, season two, at the end of December. I'm also looking forward to just having more time to create season two, because obviously I have like 2 months to plan, 2.5 months to plan what I'm going to be doing in season two. And so I'm already starting to figure that out. I have ideas of including clues at the end of each episode, clues about what the next episode will be and who I'll be talking about the next episode or who I'll be interviewing on the next episode. So I hope to include that and just have a concrete list of what each episode will be and write all of them and record all of them before I release the first episode. That might not be the case. I may record half of them and then release the first episode and just keep releasing them until I finish recording the second half. Obviously I'm going to go into 2021. I'll probably end season two in March or April. I still have to figure that out with the scheduling and whether I'm going to release 2 episodes a week or 1 episode a week, depending on how many episodes I still want to do. I'm shooting towards 20 again, but it might be more just because I have time, so we'll see. And yeah, I'll also just talking to more black artists, more interviews. I have some people in mind who I wanted to interview for season one, and they were game for it, but they just didn't have the time or their schedules didn't allow for that. So I have people in mind who I'll be asking in future weeks to come of if they just want to talk, and hopefully I'll have them on the next season. And yeah, and just for me, just like learning more about people who I haven't got the chance to learn about and educating people on those people as well, like I've been doing. And like I said earlier, I plan to talk about people with bigger names like Viola Davis and Angela Bassett because they deserve all the praise in the world because both of them are amazing and I love them dearly. Yeah, and just continuing to do what I've been doing and just to get better at podcasting. Yeah, and just to reach more people, I think having a bigger audience is a goal as well. And as the season went on, I my audience became bigger, and I got to see how many people listened to each episode, so I can see what episodes work, what episodes don't work, what episodes get more listens than others. And yeah, this first season was a great way to figure out what I'm doing. So I'll just keep getting better, and God knows how many more seasons of this there will be until I'm too busy to kind of do it. And I think that'll maybe be the case in like another 2 years once my career has started, hopefully, and we're able to do live theater again, crossing the fingers, in the next few years. So yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to incorporating next season and seasons to come. So yeah, thank you all for listening to this. This has been fun to just kind of talk and not necessarily read from a script like I always do with my episodes. And I hope you enjoyed this season. Like I said, there's much more to come and there's much more bonus episodes to come that will be fun editing in the next few days as well. So yeah, have a good one, and like I always say, black artists matter. Thank you.